the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. Our topic today is retire happy with less taxes and less expenses. And there are some various things you might consider doing in order to do that. After all, there are three major expenses you're going to face in retirement. Number one is shelter. Where are you going to live? Number two, your medical necessities, and those tend to increase with age. And number three, taxes. And of course, they're not going away at any time in the near future. So that's the thrust of what we're doing today. How do you affect those three things in retirement in a positive way to let you retire the way you would like to?
And, you know, one of the things that we have discussed over and over on this show, John, we've talked about medical, but seriously, if you're listening to this program and you're looking at your expenses, you really should budget $8,000 to $10,000 a year in your budget, even though you don't spend it. Put it away, save it, put it away somewhere, because later on, you're going to use it. And as we covered on the show last week, we talked about the 100-year lifespan. The thing is, we're adding years to our age. Every decade, we're adding two more years to our life expectancy. So if you are 65 today, between you and your spouse, or maybe just yourself, you can plan on spending 20, 25, and actually that number is going up, maybe 30 or more years in retirement. And as we all know, those expenses go up over time. I don't care if it's your food cost, your utility bill, all those things are going up. And it creates a lot of problems for retirees that are somewhat, John, I think a little bit different for individuals that are working. Because when you're working, you've got a salary. You have maybe benefits that are paid for by the company. Your medical may be one thing. You may have disability insurance that's paid by your employer. And so a lot of those things are paid for, and you have the assurance that you have a salary. So you're earning the money to cover the expenses. Well, in your retirement, that isn't necessarily true anymore.
Right. So here's the place you find yourself. Medical costs, they are rising 6 to 8% a year. Longevity is increasing. That is a plus, but it brings in issues with it. Number three, we are seeing the lowest investment returns historically, whether you look at Social Security, pension plans, savings, all those are in jeopardy in one form or another. Many of you may not have a retirement plan, and something else that isn't going away at any time in the near future, we have stagnating economies. So that's the environment in which you're operating and trying to make plans.
And unlike the past, where if you were thinking about retirement, it was simple, you know, you'd give your stated age, and then you would say, this age I want to retire. They'd come up with a number, and this is how much you need to earn on your investments or how much you need to put away in terms of savings. But we're now living and moving into a different retirement age. And that was something that we covered extensively last week on the program, and especially with the author of the 100-year lifespan. So what you really have to do now is think outside the box. For some of you, instead of retiring at age 65, you may work to age 70. There are a number of advantages for doing that, especially with Social Security. That's fewer years that you're going to draw, let's say, on your assets. It's more years that you can accumulate. So delaying retirement is one aspect that can dramatically alter your retirement plan. Working part-time, and it may be in a different field, doing something totally different than what you did during your working career. A third option is creating your own private pension plan, like using an annuity, which is becoming increasingly popular. But, you know, you're going to use some of your principal to do that, because we're living in a world today where we basically don't have the kind of rate of returns. You know, folks, think of what you're earning on your money market fund, CDs, or even your bond funds or bonds if you own them. Obviously, the returns are much lower today than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. And then a fourth option, which we'll be discussing today, is to downsize and move. So let's say that, I don't know, you had a larger home, you had a family, three or four kids. You're saying, okay, the kids are out, they've gone through college, they're off, they're married, we don't need this house anymore, downsizing. But also, you may want to look at moving someplace else, where the cost of living is cheaper, the taxes are lower, the cost of shelter and medical expenses are a lot less than where you live today. So we're going to discuss the downsize and move option because, you know, we spent a lot of time on working, and I really want to cover that in the future because this economy is changing dramatically as a result of technology and demographics and also because of longevity. And it's going to change and alter our economic system in ways we can't even comprehend. And that was one of the reasons why last week when I interviewed the author and we took a look at the aging aspect of people living longer, that it is altering ways that we can't even begin to think of today in terms of the paradigms that we'd normally think of in retirement. So today, we're going to move on another option, which is to downsize and consider moving.
The one thing that is really tricky about moving, first of all, it's a major decision. You have to recognize that. Say you're going to change states, and people will look briefly at the new state and say, oh, I'd like to live over there because XYZ, something financially. But you actually have to check what's going on in that state financially. Right now, my son's looking for prospective jobs now that he's right about the point of getting his PhD. And so he's trying to figure out what state he wants to work in. And he was quoting us some job salaries they were offering. And then we looked at the states in which they were offering. And we said, that isn't very much in that state. It might be great in Utah or Idaho, but it's not very good in New York City or something like that. So these are the things you have to look at. Plus, there's a lifestyle. I mean, some states are more packed with people. Some people really thrive on that. Some people thrive in cities. They really just love it. Others want to be a little more rural. And then there are social connections and other considerations. So it's a big planning type of operation.
Yeah, one of the aspects that we often see sometimes as a big mistake is like parents will move because they want to be closer to their kids. Say their kids have left the house, they've gotten a job, and they've moved to other states, and they're thinking, okay, we want to be closer to our kids. They move to the state where their kids are, and guess what? Junior gets transferred. So there are a number of reasons for moving. It could be weather, it could be lifestyle, but also you have to think of social connections, the new friends that you have to make, the new surroundings. And another mistake, John, that is often made in retirement is buying too expensive of a home and incurring a mortgage and not thinking about those mortgage payments. And, you know, these are probably the two main ones, but a lot of times the reason for the move has not been thoroughly thought through because there's so many different aspects to moving to a new state, a new community that aren't thought of up front.
Well, what are the critical factors then, Jim, that you think people need to think about when we talk about relocation?
Well, let's begin with family. I mean, this is something that I often hear from a lot of my clients that move out of state. You know, our kids are no longer here. We have two kids that live in another state, or our son and our grandchildren in another state. I think we did a case study with a couple that moved to Arizona because they had three children, but their son with their grandkids lived in Arizona. And plus, a couple of their friends that lived here in Southern California had sold their home, downsized, and moved to Sun City, Arizona. So family proximity is an important thing. Also, you have to look at geography and climate. You know, moving someplace where you don't have major airports, if you're thinking about travel, and also climate. I grew up in Arizona, John, but, you know, you've been to Arizona. It's a great place, but it's certainly not a place I want to live in the months of June through September when, you know, I was talking to a family member, and on Father's Day, the temperature got up to 119. I mean, can you imagine something like that? It's like being in the Saudi desert. So climate is important. And as you age, the availability of health services, one of the reasons that Arizona is very popular, especially Phoenix, Scottsdale, Sun City, you've got a Mayo Clinic there, you have excellent health care, which becomes important. And then for some people, and especially for those that might have, let's say, worked and lived in New York City, San Francisco, they like the culture of the big city that you may not get when you move elsewhere. And also the political climate could be totally different. Other things we don't think about and you don't really know until you do research are crime statistics. I mean, there's certain places around this country, there's no way I'd want to live because of the crime and the things that are going on in those particular communities. And also, depending on what you like to do, recreation and leisure opportunities. I mean, one of the reasons the Pacific Southwest is so popular, especially for people that love to play golf. I mean, John, you can play golf all year round in California. It's rare, you know, maybe occasionally we get rain, but in Southern California, I mean, you're pretty much, you could be on the links every single day of the week. And then also something that's very, very important are the taxes and the political climate. And we're going to get into this because a lot of states are running huge budget deficits. They have a huge welfare population. They have a large public employee population, and they're running into pension problems, and they keep having to raise taxes in order to support those pension and welfare obligations. And that means you, the consumer or the resident of that state, you're going to get hit with those taxes. And as John mentioned, as we started this segment, the three big expenses that you're going to run into when you retire are shelter. That's, you know, what does it cost to buy a home and live? Medical and also taxes. I had one client that was looking at a couple states, and one of the states they were looking at, I said, you realize that the exemption, federal exemption on estate taxes has gone up to $5,450,000. So you and your wife can shelter up to $10.9 million with the trust. But the state that you're thinking of looking at actually has an inheritance tax. So, you know, by looking into the tax structure, we looked at the income taxes, the sales taxes, the property taxes, and also inheritance and estate taxes, and we ruled out a few of the possibilities they were looking at. But these are things that surprise people. They don't think about that when they're moving to another state. And one of the big issues that you're going to see going forward, and we're seeing this right now in states like Illinois, where the public employee pensions are basically bankrupting the state. Last year, the city of Chicago raised property taxes, and now it's Mayor Rahm Emanuel is talking about raising additional taxes because they just simply don't have the money to fund the pensions. So these are things you have to look at, the political climate and the tax climate, because you don't want to move to a state. All the things that you have to do, voter registration, new license, a new community, new friends, all those kind of things. And you find out, wow, nobody told me about the income taxes. Nobody told me about the state taxes. So taxes can be a very major important component in the expenses that you're going to pay in your retirement. It's one of the reasons why Florida is a very popular destination for retirees, because Florida has no state income taxes and they don't tax Social Security.
Well, it would seem that now that you have listed a lot of the facts that you have to examine, you have to recognize that everyone is just a little different, especially in the things they like to do. Some people put a big thrust in the area of climate. They want to be able to go golfing or biking or whatever it is, 365 days a year. Some people like culture. So you have to be somewhere where there's culture, you know.
I want to say, is that a new word? But it's just a new pronunciation.
No, that's just a new pronunciation, you know. We's got to like this type of stuff. So culture is good. The activities are very good too. You know, what are you going to do while you're being cultured?
Okay.
Okay. But all of that aside, anyway, what kind of priorities do you need to set? So I'm assuming on one hand, you have to look at the big three that we talked about, shelter, medical, and taxes, and then balancing that out with what you'd like to do in retirement, where you'd like to be as you do it. Now you got to prioritize this whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to start out with, I hate to say it, folks, you start out with a budget, cost of living. What is it going to cost me if I stay where I'm at? What is it going to cost me if I move to another state? Let's forget the moving cost in the short term. You know, what is it going to cost me for shelter there? What is it going to cost me for medical there? What are the taxes? Because if you're on Medicare, every state has different Medigap insurance policies. So you have to look at that. So cost of living, your personal finances. Is it required? I mean, a lot of people, if they had their way, they might say, you know, I like where I live. My friends are here. The social group, my church, the people I affiliate are right here. But when they look at their finances, it just doesn't work out. They don't have the kind of income that they had when, you know, let's say both spouses were working or one spouse. The other thing is family. You know, you have children, you have grandchildren. You know, if you're living in California and all the kids are living on the East Coast, well, that's a lot of travel. I mean, you could travel to visit them, but a lot of parents want to be closer to where their kids are. And what are your personal interests, from leisure to culture? Do you like to go to plays? Do you like to go to museums? Do you like to travel? You play golf? You sail like myself? I mean, I'm going to have to be near water. So California or Florida are the only options I have, unless I would move to Washington. But once again, when you move up to a place that's colder weather, there's less sailing. So, you know, what are your personal interests? And if retirement, the big question is always related to finances, because you really want to take a look at relocating to a retirement-friendly state, one that allows you to keep more of the money you make. It's not just the fact that you're going to be able to live cheaper, cost of living, taxes, you know, what are my medical expenses? And that is what you really want to do. And there are a number of studies, we're going to go over a couple of them with you today, that have evaluated states for retirees. And there were three things that they were looking at. And we're going to talk about the best and worst states to retire. So we'll tell you the best ones, but I also want to tell you the ones you want to avoid. And what they looked at is affordability, the quality of life, that could be weather, that could be culture, and also healthcare. And what I want to do is talk about the top 10. And number one, not surprisingly, is Florida. It ranked very high in terms of affordability. You can buy shelter there. It's cheaper to live. And of course, Florida has no income taxes. The quality of life, what you're able to do, and healthcare is top notch. Now, the one that really surprised me, and we got into this with one of my clients, and you'll see this in the case study we're going to discuss today, was Wyoming was number two. South Dakota was number three. South Carolina was number four. Colorado was number five. And John, your state, Idaho, was number six for affordability, quality of life, and healthcare. Following Idaho, and number seven is Texas. Eight is Montana. Nine is Nevada. And 10 is Virginia. There were a lot of these that really surprised me. I thought, Arizona actually came in number 11, because I know Arizona, the cost of living is cheaper, income taxes are, gosh, negligible, property taxes are cheap, although their sales taxes have gone up over the years. But you have the weather issue. A lot of seniors that retire, I started out my career in Sun City, Arizona. And John, it's almost like a ghost town during the summer. Everybody gets out of the heat, and that's when they tend to travel, go see the kids, take the trip to Europe is during the summer, or get in the motorhome. So those were the 10 states. And I know when you were living in Colorado and you moved to Idaho, what were your reasons? Because Colorado was number five and Idaho is number six. So you kind of stayed right in that same zone.
Yeah, except that when you talk about Colorado, remember Colorado has three zones, the Front Range, the mountain areas, and then the Western Slope. And we were living along the Front Range in Denver, in the Denver metro area, and we didn't like it anymore. I was wasting huge amounts of time on the freeway. Everything had become very crowded and cramped in the 20 years that we were living there, and has increased doing that in the 20 years I've been in Idaho. And I really wanted to go back to the Pacific Northwest, and you could come here and you could buy a home in the woods and it didn't cost an arm and a leg. And so the quality of life was better. You knew your neighbors, everybody waved at each other, and you know, you have your privacy, but at the same time, we know each other. And so those were all factors. And the one thing that was really good was low regulation when you wanted to get things done. We were a homeschooling family, and Idaho was a homeschool friendly state, was one of the friendliest in the countries, according to Homeschool Legal Defense. So there were all sorts of issues that Idaho was a really key advantage.
That's interesting, because we have had clients that have moved to your state as well. And I have a nephew that actually works for a technology company in Boise. So there are a number of reasons you looked at. You know, quality of life was very important to you. Now let me talk about the 10 worst states in terms of ranking for retirement. Rhode Island, number one. Hawaii, number two. Now, that one surprised me, but when you think about it, everything's very expensive there, including taxes and regulations. Connecticut, Vermont, New Jersey, West Virginia, New York, Alaska, Maryland, Kentucky, and Arkansas. I was really looking for California because, I mean, the taxes are just outrageous here. And believe it or not, when it came to California, we were number 15.
Glad I didn't place a bet on that one. I would have put that at the top.
Yeah, I mean, the regulations here are bearing businesses, and it's why a lot of the technology firms are relocating or building. You know, Apple's building their new factory in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona. They're not building any more factories here. But I was really surprised, and it's got to be, you know, lifestyle, John, because one thing about California, you know, within 2 hours, well, I could be anywhere. I could be on the ski slopes. I can be in the desert dune buggy on a dune buggy. I could be in the mountains hiking, backpacking, or, you know, in a half an hour, I can be on the beach or bay or on my sailboat. So it's got to be quality of living, because the one thing about Southern California, maybe less so in Northern California, you can pretty much be an outdoor person all year round. In fact, one of the big things, the new trend in homes in California are outdoor living rooms because the temperatures are so nice. So, yeah, that really surprised me that California came in on number 15. I thought it was definitely going to be in the top 10. Instead, it was Rhode Island.
You know, it also surprises me, by the way, Jim, about the California state is a third of our population here outside of Spokane, Washington and the Idaho Panhandle. A third of our population are now Californian expats. So that's one of the reason why I would have put my bet on there. But let's talk about lowest cost of living. I think if you're going to have a budget, it's going to have so much of an income, then those states which have the lowest cost of living, I would think that would be a major concern, and it might even displace what you really necessarily want in the area of weather. For example, you know, we were talking about, was it Alabama you said was one of the worst states to retire in, because people sometimes like the weather in the South, say, for example.
Once again, this one really surprised me. The cheapest place for cost of living, okay, so if you're living in Southern California, I don't know how this is going to set, is Wyoming was number one, South Dakota number two. Now here, John, this gets back, I guess, to what part of the state you live. Number three was the state of Colorado. Number four was Utah. Five was Virginia. Montana was number six. Your state of Idaho was number seven. Boy, you come in number seven in just about every single survey. And folks, there's surveys for everything today if you're thinking about retiring. Iowa's number eight. Arizona, where I grew up, is number nine. And Nebraska is number 10. That really surprised me. But I suppose if you're looking at the cost of living, I imagine buying a home in Wyoming, South Dakota, in Colorado. I mean, you lived in the Denver area, which is a large metropolitan area, and it's rather dense population-wise. But I mean, cost of living compared to Idaho, what would you say?
It's more expensive, very clearly so. But see, that's all changed too, because the politics of the state have changed, and the state has gone much more to the left in terms of it's beginning to move the way of California, which was another reason why we left. We could see the handwriting on the wall, and so expenses have gone up.
Well, it's not surprising. And let me just read the most expensive places. So if you're looking at moving to a state and your main consideration for moving is cost of living. Now, I suppose in every state, John, just like Colorado, there may be certain areas where the shelter or the cost of living is cheaper. But the most expensive is New York. Second is West Virginia. Third is Oregon. Arkansas is number four. Louisiana, that one surprised me, number five. Hawaii, number six. Oklahoma, number seven. Alaska, number nine. And Connecticut, number 10. So if you're looking at some of the places that you're thinking of moving and you're looking at the cost of living, just bear in mind that some of these states, you really have to look at the overall cost. And when they factor in the overall cost, it's not just housing, shelter, utilities, medical, all those things go into consideration.
Okay, well, we've talked about shelter and medical. Now the big issue is taxes, and those aren't going away at any time in the near future. And I would have thought that would have put your state over the top as one of the worst places in which to retire because of the taxation situation. But California's not alone. Let's face that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's talk about the states where there's absolutely no income tax. And, you know, Alaska is on the list. But as you just saw from those other surveys, cost of living and other things make it expensive. Florida has no income tax. Nevada has no income tax. South Dakota has no income tax. Texas, the state of Washington, and Wyoming. And that's why some of those states factored in as one of the 10 best places to retire. Now, there's something that's real important for you. Let's take the three-legged stool of retirement. It's Social Security, a pension, and your own savings. There are a lot of states that may have an income tax, but they do not charge you tax on your Social Security. Alabama does not tax your Social Security. Arizona doesn't tax it. Arkansas, and hallelujah, California does not tax Social Security. It's one thing they don't tax because there's a lot of retirees here. So there are, 15, 20, almost 30 states, a little over 30 states, folks, that do not tax your Social Security. Because remember, if you are receiving Social Security, depending on your income, as a single individual or a married couple, up to 85% of your Social Security income could be subject to federal taxes. So, you know, when you factor federal taxes, depending on what your tax bracket is, or in the state of California, where everybody seems to be in the 9.3% tax, you know, taxing Social Security at the state level can also be significant. So there are a number of states that do not tax Social Security, even though they may tax your other sources of income, whether it's a company pension plan or what you're earning from your investments. So there are a number of things you can do here. So just bear in mind, that's why you need to do a lot of research before you do it. And this is really going to become more important for many of you that are retired or on fixed income. You really need to take a look at what your income is in relation to your debt, other expenses, and then take a look at that three-legged stool. I mean, if the main source of fixed income or dependable income that you have is Social Security, think about a state that doesn't tax Social Security or a state that doesn't tax your regular income. Think of how much more money you're going to have in your pocket. So these are things that are very, very important that you need to look at before you make this consideration. But actually, moving to another location, another state, as you did, John, is an option that is becoming more viable for many, many retirees as they consider the future of their retirement, as they look at ways how to survive with financial repression, the lowest interest rates in recorded history, rising medical costs that are rising at 6 to 8% a year, the cost of shelter. All these things are going. You have to be evaluated, and you're having to think outside the box today and look at other options to make retirement work, whether it's working longer, working part-time, creating your own private pension, or downsizing and moving as we did today.
So if we're talking about these issues and income tax, et cetera, and you're going to live where it's maybe a little more expensive, you have some options here. Number one, you can work longer, or at least part-time, or something different. You know, there was the job that you had, and now the job that you really want to do. I mean, one man that I knew did that and did it very, very well. At retirement age, he went out and got his paramedic certification and then began to work at Denver General Hospital, you know, in the emergency room. And so he was able to change to a job that he had liked. You can relocate. We mentioned that. You can create your own private pension. And of course, there's always the combination of the above. Basically, it's pragmatism. What works to achieve the goals in the environment in which we find ourselves?
Yeah, I think the main point that we want to get here is you really need to start thinking outside the box. And retirement is no longer coming up with the magic number and you're going to have this X percent drawdown. That doesn't work anymore in this environment. So there are a lot of options here that can lead to a more productive retirement, a more healthy environment. But you have to start thinking outside the box. And the options you just mentioned, working longer, part-time work, relocating, creating a private pension, or, you know, sometimes a combination of all of the above. But, you know, folks, it's not helpless. You can still retire. You may just have to think much differently about what you thought retirement was going to be like.
Now it is time for our case study to see if these facts that we're talking to you about can actually be applied. As with all of our case studies, they are based on real people and real circumstances. We changed the names to protect privacy. So with the drum roll, who are the couple this week?
This week, we're going to talk about John and Kara Wallace. John is 63. Kara is 68. Both are now retired, going through their health questionnaire. Their age life expectancy is age 90 for John, 92 for Kara. Risk tolerance, pretty conservative as investors. Their investment objective was obviously income and preservation of capital. They dreamed of retirement, but they wanted to do it in a way that they could afford to have a lifestyle that they liked. So John was an executive. He worked as an executive officer for his company, very busy with work-related travel. He spent a lot of time on the road traveling. So, I mean, that's, you know, anybody that travels a lot, you know, at some point you hang it up and you just say, you know, I'm tired of waiting, airports, plane delays, hotels. So John wanted to move to Wyoming or Montana and settle down with his wife. He wanted a simpler lifestyle, less hectic, didn't want crowded cities, been there, done that, didn't want to do that. His wife, Kara, 5 years older, she was an HR director. She worked as a director for a major company, was very busy between work, raising children. Kara is willing to move, but doesn't enjoy the cold winters and would like to be closer to both her kids and her grandchildren. What was really important to both of them, especially paying high taxes throughout their working career, you know, one of the considerations that we had to look at is, okay, they wanted to get rid of taxes because they figured if we could get rid of taxes at the state level, it would make a considerable difference in take-home pay as it affects all of us. So managing taxes. So we were looking at states that didn't have income taxes. They wanted to leave a legacy for their children. They wanted to maximize their retirement income, and relocating was a way to do that because their home here in California was more expensive. They wanted to get as close as they could to debt-free, and also they wanted to go to a place where more of their budget would be spent on doing their hobbies. They, you know, they were into motorhomes. And so one of the things that they figured they could do is, just like people do in Arizona, they come over to California or they go someplace else during the summer months. You know, just as the people from the east, we call them snowbirds, we call them sunbirds, you know, that come from warmer temperatures. But they wanted more of their money to be spent on traveling and doing the things they wanted rather than taxes, but they wanted a lower cost of living. So if we looked at their budget, essential budget was about 80 grand. Discretionary was about 65, total of 145, less their salary, 175,000. They had a surplus of 31,000. Now we looked at what it would be in retirement here versus elsewhere. And they figured that to stay here in California, their expenses, whether it was basics or essentials, would be much, much higher. So looking at going to another state, eventually it was Wyoming, the essential budget would be 60,000, discretionary would be 50, their total budget would drop from 145,000 to 110. When you take a look at their pensions and Social Security, 80,000, they had a shortfall of 30. Now, their real estate, what they did is they sold their real estate here in California that freed up and it enabled them to get a place in Wyoming, a beautiful place, for about $375,000. So one of the things that that did is it eliminated the mortgage payment. Their house was free and clear. It also enabled and freed up some extra cash that they could use personally in investments. So now they had $725,000 in a personal investment account. John's retirement account was roughly about $350,000. Kara's retirement was roughly close to $600,000. So now what made a lot of this possible was, number one, expenses went down tremendously moving to Wyoming. Number two, they got rid of the big house here in California, took that equity, paid cash for a home in Wyoming, so no more mortgage payment, property taxes were less, no income taxes, and then it freed up a lot of capital could now used to produce income. So now their total investments were roughly about 1.7 million, basically another almost a little over 700,000 that went into the investment portfolio that would be producing income instead of remaining stuck in the equity of their house. Total net worth was roughly close to $2 million. Their main concerns is they had a lot of things they wanted to do and pursue in retirement, and that's why their discretionary budget was almost 80% of what their basic living needs were. The problem that we also pointed out, their estate plan hadn't been updated in 15 years. Taxes were a major concern. If you live in California, folks, taxes is a concern. We have high sales tax, we have high property taxes, we have high income taxes, and all the other things they throw in that they call fees, whether it's on your cable bill, your utility bill, it's still another form of taxes. So taxes was a major concern. Investments were spread across custodians all over the place. Nothing aligned with their risk tolerance or their investment objectives. So what we did, taking a look at their new retirement, the paid for home, John and Kara's pensions were $24,000. And their Social Security was $46,000. What we did is we put part of the joint account in a dividend account that we manage, because there's one reason we did that. Once again, taxes. The income was higher than what we could get them in bonds. Number two, the dividends would only be taxed at 15%. So remember, one of the tax considerations, there would be no tax on the $46,000, no state taxes on the $46,000 of Social Security. The dividends on the personal side would only be taxed at 15%. The rest we put in a balanced account that was a cross between bonds, individual bonds, and dividends that produced roughly about a yield of 3.2%. So the grand total of investment income was a little over $51,000. Total income, a little over $131,000. Less a budget of $110,000, they had a surplus, because one of the reasons that we factored in there, you need to have a surplus for inflation and also for medical expenses, because we wanted to build a medical expense fund, factor that into their budget, and we were figuring roughly about $10,000 of additional savings a year that they might need later on in life. So what we did, relocating, they sold the home in California. They bought the home with cash in Wyoming. We also were going to delay part of the Social Security on John. And the reason for that is because of the 8% increase we had in inflation. Managing taxes, we did that by going to Wyoming. Social Security wouldn't be taxable. No state income taxes, lower property taxes. So the big tax bite that they had in California would go away. And also creating a legacy for children, we set up a trust and we used IRA stretch provisions for their estate plan so there wouldn't be an immediate tax when the last spouse passed away. So here was a case, John, where relocation was a significant factor in terms of shelter, because they were able to pay cash for a home and get a very, very nice home for less money, and taxes were no longer a major expense because it was tax-free, their pension, they wouldn't have to pay state taxes. So one of the solutions to make this thing work was obviously to sell the big home, but also choosing on where to locate. And like you, John, they wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle of the large cities, and they wanted more of that kind of casual, laid-back living, and that's why they chose Wyoming.
And there are parts of Wyoming, having just been there, that are very, very neat. Others are just open and flat. So it depends on whether you like it or not and what you want to do there. Okay. And here's a reminder that tomorrow on Lifetime Income, our guest is Adam Sherry, and his book is Property Titling and Estate Planning. How you take title of property can affect everything. The taxes you pay to liabilities to just messing the whole thing up. And some people do that because they don't try to understand exactly what they're doing when they're planning for their estate. It's all coming up tomorrow here on Lifetime Income as Adam Sherry is our guest.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing a lot more kind of thinking outside the box solutions, because a lot of the people that are coming to us in retirement now are almost like coming to us like they're not thinking outside the box, and they're thinking of what our financial industry does. They're thinking of this magic number that they need, And what we're able to do is if you get them to think outside the box, look, there's various ways we can solve this. In the case of John and Kara, it was simply moving to another state. We solved the shelter problem. We solved the tax problem. And this is going to be becoming more important. And that's why, folks, if you really want to read a book that it'll change some of your thinking, it's called The 100-Year Life. That was my interview last week with Andrew Scott from the London School of Economics. The changes that are coming to retirement, society, and economics are going to be so profound that we're going to be talking more and more about this because we are living and working in the age of longevity. A lot of you listening to this program right now weren't expected to be as old as you are given the date you're born. Now, think about this. If you are a millennial, listen to this program, or you're a parent that just gave birth to a new child, that child stands a 50% chance of living to the age 104. So think differently about retirement. It is changing as much as the investment environment is changing. And we're going to be talking more about this and hopefully offering and getting you to think a little bit differently about how you plan for retirement. And if you're feeling hopeless, don't give up. There are a lot of solutions that we're going to be talking about, hopefully, that'll make a difference in your life. But in the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.